God damn, I need IPA.
This is Beering Ain't Easy, your podcast for beer humor, dad humor, and beer tastings from Texas and beyond. So crack one if you got one and turn it up.
All right, everyone. Welcome to Beering Ain't Easy with Adam and Drew, episode 37.
All right, y'all. Today is a very special day for the Beering Ain't Easy podcast.
The day that we have officially made it.
We have secured an interview with a head brewer of an actual brewery, and that brewery is the Nook Brewing Company in Broken Arrow, Oklahoma, and that head brewer is Alex Foster.
Moment of silence, please.
So just to try to make this podcast a little more legitimate, we thought we'd bring someone with some actual beer knowledge and give them a chance to talk about their beer.
To enlighten us and our audience.
So for those of you not from Oklahoma, Broken Arrow is kind of near Tulsa and also not too far away from my hometown of Fort Smith, Arkansas. And for those of you listening, you may notice that Alex, the head brewer, looks and sounds a lot like our friend of the show, Ryan. And there's a reason for that. They are twin brothers. So Ryan actually drove up to Oklahoma and brought a crowler down of a Doppelbock that we're super excited to try.
I am excited. I love Doppelbocks.
So this type of episode is going to be forever known as the official Beering Ain't Easy Meet the Brewer series.
The inaugural series.
I was really hoping you would say inaugural. It's been a while since we've gotten to do a first, so
yeah.
I think that tells us we need to change things up a bit.
Yes.
With that being said, let's go right into that interview.
Without further ado.
We are here with a very, very special guest tonight. We have got Alex Foster, who is the co-owner and head brewer of the Nook Brew Co. in Broken Arrow, Oklahoma. Welcome, Alex.
What's up, guys? How you doing?
Doing awesome. Thank you so much for joining us. This is our first official brewer on the Beering Ain't Easy podcast, and I'm glad that it's you.
Hey, I'm honored. This is great.
Well, actually, you're the second because Drew and I have brewed our own beer.
You didn't want to taste our beer? All right. So we picked a few questions for you. Appreciate the opportunity to talk to you about your business. So you opened up last year, right?
Our official opening day was December 11th, which is just the best time to open during a pandemic right before Christmas.
So. Yeah, that's not an easy time to start a new business. So definitely mad props for making it to the finish line here.
Yeah, it was a long road, but we're open now and we're doing well. We're really excited about the business that we're doing and the beer we're making. So
are you doing a tap room only or are you bottling?
So we do not have a canning line yet. We're doing self-distribution. So we're selling our kegs to some local bars and restaurants around us, and we're delivering the kegs ourselves. So that's kind of one of the deals of being a small family-owned brewery with no employees is we wear all the hats. So we brew during the day, we're behind the bar at night, and when people want our kegs, we deliver them.
One-stop shopping.
And we clean the toilets, so.
That's dedication right there.
Yeah. It's a lot, but it's a lot of work, but we're enjoying it, and we're having a good time.
Yeah, and so we are super lucky because we were able to get our hands on one of your beers, the Terminal Velocity Doppelbock, and so super excited to try that one today, but before we talk too much about that beer, you know, Adam and I talk a lot about what would it be like if we could open our own brewery? Like, how did you take that from like the home brewing phase and take it to where it's an actual business? And what's the journey like?
So I was, I worked on a ranch when I was at college at Oklahoma State, and the guy that owned the ranch homebrewed. And so he asked me if I was interested in learning, and me being a dumb college kid, single-minded, all I could see in front of me was this is how I can have an unlimited amount of beer in front of me for cheaper than what I can go buy it for at the store. So I had him teach me, and I made just the most awful, undrinkable garbage you can ever imagine.
Oh, we can imagine it.
Yeah, it was It wasn't good. At college, I wasn't able to or willing to spend the money to get the right equipment, the right cleaners, or anything to like do it appropriately. So I think a lot of people start out there, though. When you get your first kit, nobody has all the stuff that they need to do it correctly and do it well. So once I actually started my career and actually had money to spend on the hobby, I actually bought proper equipment and proper stuff, started doing it better. And the more I did it, the better I got, and the more I wanted to learn about it.
So that first batch of beer, did you end up drinking it?
Oh, yeah. I mean, some of it. Probably not all of it. So back then, I bought a case of mason jars, and I actually carbonated, like bottle carved in mason jars. So I would just take a couple of mason jars to parties and crack them open and just drink out of these gross mason jars. It was really bad.
That's almost like moonshine level status right there.
Yeah. I dumped a bunch of extra like corn sugar and stuff in it, try to get the ABV as high as possible, but yeah, terrible.
You just replicated Old English.
Yeah, pretty much.
Nice.
Hey, Old English probably tasted better. Brewing beer is like the perfect blend of art and science. So with me, I'm a mechanical engineer, so that kind of speaks to me like right to my core. I love this science and art blend of it. And so I got super into it there. When my parents retired, they retired from Minnesota and moved down here to Oklahoma. And so my dad started brewing with me. You know, we'd each get ideas and we'd kind of push each other. So we got more and more into it, more and more in-depth knowledge of different parts of the processes and different beer styles and what makes them different, stuff like that. So at the same time, all of our family vacations ended up kind of centering around hitting up all the craft breweries in whatever city we vacationed in.
Yeah, we just got done talking about that.
Yeah. So on one side, we kept brewing and getting better and started making a pretty great high-quality beer. So we kind of were like, we could do this. We could make this for a living. And then on the other side, we're visiting all these craft breweries around the country, thinking, you know, we could do this. I think we could do this. And we decided to give it a shot.
That's a big plunge.
I think that more fully answers the question.
No, that's awesome.
So once we actually decided that it was something we could possibly do, we put together a business plan, really dove into the numbers for a year or two. My dad put together an awesome business plan. It was like 30 something pages long. With a lot of financial projections and, you know, population projections, stuff like that. And what we were really trying to do is try to convince ourselves out of doing this. And another problem that we ran into in Oklahoma, they just, I wouldn't say fully legalized marijuana, but they really opened it up for like medicinal and some other stuff. So there were was a huge influx of grow houses trying to move in, and they require a lot of the same stuff that we did in a building, but they're willing to pay, you know, three or four times the amount of rent that we're willing to pay. And the landowner or the building owners don't have a problem charging that. So, we ended up looking for a building for two and a half years, before we were actually able to find a building.
See, yeah. I thought you were going in a different direction there. I thought you were going to talk about competition with extracurricular activities.
Oh, no. Yeah.
That's a collab waiting to happen. CBD oil-infused beer.
I don't know that that's a competition as much as a huge overlap of some people. I actually do have a couple recipes that I've come across for CBD beers and stuff like that. I've never considered brewing them, but I've seen them.
Yeah, we tried one. It was interesting.
Yeah, real interesting.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I think all of us look at things like starting a new business and being an entrepreneur, and it's just like you really have to take that leap of faith. And so I always respect the hell out of people that are willing to do that. You know, some of us are just a little more risk averse.
Yeah, it definitely is a big jump, and it's pretty scary. And luckily I have a lot of support from my wife and stuff like that. It really helps.
All right. So I think what we'll do is we'll move to like the Beerian Ain't Easy Brewers Corner speed round of interview questions. So these aren't as in depth, but want to know your thoughts on a few important topics for our listeners here. So first one is, what's your favorite type of beer to brew?
For the most part, it doesn't really matter what style it is. The process is more or less the same. I really enjoy coming up with new styles and developing a recipe more so than
the final than,
the final, like doing the,
that's like a perfect
it's match. Developing it. That's a lot different.
That's a perfect match for folks like us though, that want like a different type of beer every time we come to the brewery. So having a brewer that likes making something different each time, that's like a match made in heaven.
Oh yeah, for sure.
We have 10 taps at our place and four of them are going to be our staple beers, air quotes, Kolsch and off-kilter Scotch Ale are going to be our two just mainstay staples. And then we'll always have a seltzer and always have an IPA. We'll rotate kind of this, like the flavor of each, but, and then all the other six will be constantly rotating depending on, you know, seasonal or whatever we want to try to throw out there.
So is the process of making a seltzer similar to the process of making a beer?
Completely different.
Okay. That's what I was
In one shot, it is the most simple thing to make, but it can be the most complicated thing to make. Really, all you're doing with a seltzer is mixing a sugar wash and a yeast. So like for ours, we use dextrose, which is powdered corn sugar, and a white wine yeast. So really all you do is you just dump a bunch of corn sugar into water and boil it for about 5 minutes, and then cool it and throw yeast into it. And that's why it's very simple. The problem is making a good seltzer is a lot more complicated than that. And I can get into a lot of the details of why, but I don't know that you guys care.
it's only because we don't like seltzers.
So I don't like seltzers either, but I find myself drinking ours more often later in the evenings when I've been drinking beer like a lot of all day.
It's the fruit of your labor, man.
A brewery has to have a seltzer nowadays
though. Yeah.
All right, so I think about brewing. And, you know, just being a casual beer drinker, I feel like I would always be drinking beer while I'm brewing. How often are you drinking beer while you're brewing?
So typically I do not drink while I brew, oddly enough. There's a lot of stuff going on.
That's kind of what I was thinking. And if you did it for a career, you'd be a complete alcoholic if you drank every time you did it.
So what is your favorite type of music to brew to?
So when I'm doing all like the morning processes, as far as like prepping the grain and getting the brew house ready and kind of getting everything set up, I actually have headphones in listening to podcasts. And then once we actually start grain in, that's when I flip it over to, I actually put it on the speakers in the brew area and turn on music. So you got to keep it fresh, man. You got to keep it like mix of classic rock and mix in some gangster rap every once in a while.
Now we're like talking.
Yeah.
That's what I like to hear.
All right. So now let's transition to some family drama.
Absolutely. So it's a family business, right? You're working with your
dad.
That's
right.
You're saying you have to do all these tasks. You have to clean the bathroom. You have to scrub the tanks. Does your dad ever pull dad rank and be like, Alex, you're doing toilet duty today?
No, he doesn't ever do that. He's super impressive, man. He's a workhorse. He just puts his head down and works and just does all sorts of stuff. He never pulls dad rank on me, but he just gets after it.
He's a better man than me.
I would totally pull dad rank all the time.
So the only thing is when we have to crawl inside of tanks to get to something, that's always me.
Yeah.
I don't think it was ever on the table. He didn't have to pull dad rank. It was never even questioned by me. But
nice.
All right. So moving on to the next question. So we've heard that some brewers hate Untappd because amateurs like us don't like a beer and we give it a poor rating, even if it's a good beer of that type and we just don't like that type of beer. What is your stance on Untappd?
So I used to check in all my beers and rank all my beers on Untappd. And now that we own a brewery, I have opened Untappd to actually rank a beer once in the past 6 months. I'm not against it. It keeps people engaged and it's great, but I don't want to see what people are ranking our beers because I'm just going to it's a lose-lose for me. I'm not going to get anything out of it. I'm just going to leave in a worse mood than I went into it in. So not to make you guys paranoid, but the only reason I ever log in or open it on my phone behind the bar is it's pretty obvious when some people get a couple flights and they walk away from the counter loading Untappd, I can sit there and I can just watch them, and then I can pull it up and just look at recent activity and see how they're ranking the beers, like, in real time. And that way I can ask them about it when they come up to the bar.
Have you ever confronted someone for a 0.5 rating?
Delete that rating.
I've never actually tipped my hand that I know that I was. I was Untappd stalking them. I've never told anybody that. So, but I'm kind of against it
untapped
for all the
out.
Reasons.
You're Untappd out.
Yeah, I'm Untappd out.
All right. Yeah. So tell us about this beer.
All right. So yeah, this is our Terminal Velocity Doppelbock. It is an 8% ABV lager. So. Because it's a lager, it's very clean character-wise. It is very rich and malty, but there's no roastiness. There's no roastiness in the malt bill, so you don't want that in a Doppelbock. So it has very, very complex malt flavors. We do a quasi-decoction mash to give it some caramel character. And what I mean by that with the quasi-decoction mash is we actually take, when we're mashing, we take 20% of the mash over to the boil kettler. And we simmer it for 30 to 45 minutes. Essentially, we're just trying to really caramelize some of those sugars. So once we simmer it for a little while, then we dump it back in over the mash bed and let it sit, which helps actually raise the mash temp a little bit. So you get some variety in the complexity of the sugars that we're converting from the grain starches. So all that to say is that it's got a lot of different malt characters to it all combined and caramelization. So once we flush it all through, it has a really nice, like dark ruby hue to it. And it's, I mean, obviously 8%. So it's got a nice smooth alcohol warmth. It's great for winter. It's one of those beers that you can call a winter warmer in the middle of summer, right? It's got just enough hop bitterness just to keep the gravity unit to bittering unit ratio in check. You don't want to add so much bitterness with the hops that it doesn't allow like the maltiness to come through and all that like complexity that I was talking about. So it's my favorite beer by far that we have. It's super good. When we talk about what's our favorite style of beer to brew, this definitely isn't it, because brew day is a lot more work than any other brew day we do. You know, it ties up a tank for 3 months at least. So it's tough, but the final product is pretty outstanding.
Awesome. We're both huge fans of Doppelbocks, so we're excited to try this one. And this guy over here is a huge malt fan, so he's been talking about it all week. So, and I saw this one, you guys had won a homebrew medal on this beer as well.
Yeah, we won a gold medal with this one when we were still homebrewing it.
Heck yeah. And I think I was trying to take notes as you were talking, just because we don't know how to describe beer, and so we're gonna work on that. We're gonna try, when we test this beer out, we're gonna try to see if we can get all the intricacies you just explained to us.
Yeah,
we will get less than 1% of them.
We'll at least pretend, yeah, so, pretend like we got them.
Yeah. But you're trying, and that's what matters. So that's one of the things that we take very seriously here in Oklahoma. So it wasn't until about 2018 that the laws changed here enough that you could actually serve your own beer in your tap room. You kind of could before 2018, but it was a very difficult process, and the laws were so you couldn't sell beer over 3% ABV or 3.2 in the tap room. And when you wanted to serve samples, you could only give them a certain number. So there was very few breweries here in Oklahoma. Now breweries are just blowing up, but the overall knowledge as far as like craft beer is concerned in Oklahoma is kind of behind many other places, just because it's still so new. So We take that very seriously, that we're here to kind of help educate people on craft beer. We get at least two or three a night that come in and they're like, I only drink Michelob Ultra. What do you have that's, you know, what do you have that's like that? And
nothing.
Pretty much we have to tell them nothing. But here's what we got that's a very good introductory beer for you. And we throw them the Kolsch. We actually throw them the Kolsch and the Saison usually. Like, we let them try a little splash of both. And it's actually pretty even how many people pick the Kolsch versus the Saison. So we do take it very seriously that we're here to help bring the craft beer culture in Oklahoma along and help educate people. Just
shining beacon for the entire state of Oklahoma in Broken Arrow.
That's right. Yeah.
So before we let you go, we really enjoyed talking with you. Is there any new Nook beers or any events that you want to hype up to finish us out tonight?
We're becoming kind of the kings of small events, it seems like. We do bingo every Wednesday in our tap room, and we're starting trivia this Thursday, every Thursday. And then we do a monthly cornhole tournament. And then we also have a lot of stuff coming up. We have a pilot series, which is on our old homebrew setup. It's just, you know, experimental batches. So we do 10 gallons at a time, and we're about to fire through a bunch of different. There's a hazy fermenting right now, and then we're going to do a milkshake IPA, and then we're going to do a seltzer smoothie where we brew a very high ABV seltzer, and then we blend it with a fruit puree, and we're actually trying to get our hands on a slushy machine so we can do like a frozen fruit smoothie, but it'll be like 6% ABV, hopefully.
So you're going to get weird with it, huh?
Oh yeah. And then we're going to do it's called like an ube lager. It uses ube, which is like a purple sweet potato. We're going to throw that in with the mash, and it should make it like a lavender colored beer. I think there's a couple breweries in Houston that are doing that. It's just total Instagram bait.
Oh yeah. So, we know about that Instagram talking. Life.
Yeah. I'm not above it. So, and then it's going to start getting colder pretty soon. We're going to start getting into the fun pastry stouts and stuff like that. I can't wait. And stout then we're going to try to start a barrel aging program. And then we're hoping to have a canning line by the end of this year, so we can actually start getting in a lot more like liquor stores and stuff like that.
Oh, heck yeah.
Yeah, awesome.
There's a lot of growth in front of us, hopefully, but you know, we've only been open 6 months, coming up on 7 months. We'll get there. Everything's a process.
Yeah, from everything I've heard, it's been going really great, and I'm really excited for you, and I can't wait for us to get a chance to make it up to Broken Arrow and check it out for ourselves.
Come on up. I'll give you the full tour.
Alex Foster, everyone, Nuuk Brewing Company, thank you so much for joining us on the podcast today.
Yep, see you later.
Thank you guys so much for having me.
So now that we can reflect on this interview, perfect facilitation by Beering Ain't Easy, like went off without a hitch, right? Like no problems whatsoever.
Let me just paint a little bit of a picture for the audience. I offered Drew to arrange everything, and I told him I would take the lead in setting up all the IT.
Adam's never offered such a thing ever.
But Drew said, no, I got it. So we get on the call. We start with a Zoom call. That's a complete flop. He can't hear us. We can't hear him. We tested our audio 500 times.
Yeah, it was 30 minutes of technical difficulties after Alex had been brewing all day and just wanted to get a good night's rest. And so he stuck with us. And I mean, this was our first remote interview, so to be expected to have a few bumps and bruises. But I think the fact that he did a full interview with us, let us drink his awesome beer, and put up with 30 minutes of technical difficulties, if that doesn't convince you to drink his beer, then I don't know what does. Cheers to you, sir.
Cheers to you, sir.
I would say this man needs a beer, but I think you're okay in that category.
I think you're downplaying the technical difficulties a little bit. I think we used 3 or 4 different applications to conduct the interview. I think it was on our 4th application.
I had to sign up for different programs that were like 30-day trials just to get something to work. So we need to crack this beer because it was really hard. I was doing everything when we talked with Alex the other night to not open the crowler. But it was kind of like Tuesday night, and it wasn't the right time for it.
If you were going to open it, I was going to drink it. I'll leave it at that.
I think we needed some time to let his words of wisdom on what we should taste like really sink in. So I think now we're ready. So if you don't remember from the episode, this is the Terminal Velocity Doppelbock.
8%.
8%, all right.
Bringing some oomph behind this crowler.
As I'm watching Adam pour this, it's got a very beautiful looking color to it. You know, I'm really seeing that nice ruby red color that Alex had talked about.
I'm really liking this beer.
Adam was just saying just a second ago, he's like, man, it really isn't roasty at all, but I never would have picked up on it if Alex hadn't told us so.
I never said such a thing.
It's good. Like I like everything that Alex described, as you would expect, is spot on. It's got great malt flavor, caramel flavor. It's got that boozy warmth.
Complex caramel flavor. The boozy warmth is really there. It's very tasty. So we've come to a critical point in this podcast.
Do tell.
Alex said he doesn't like Untappd. Untappd is a
core value of this podcast. What is your untapped rating of this beer? And I'm sorry, Alex.
Oh, man. I didn't know, you know, after that whole discussion about untapped, I wasn't sure you were going to come at it. I was perfectly okay closing out without.
I had to.
But to be honest, Alex paired us up with a beer that is one of my personal favorite styles of beer, the Doppelbock. Definitely don't drink enough of these. And so I actually really enjoyed this beer, and I'm actually going a little hype on it. I'm actually going to go 4.25 on this beer.
Woo-wee!
Well done, Alex. Gold medal award right here.
You know, I love this type of beer. And within this type of beer, this is one of the better I've had. And so I am right on par with you at a 4.25. Exceptional maltiness on this beer.
We know you love that malt.
And that is why you're getting a 4.25. It's really hard for anything other than a hazy to get a 4.25 in my calibration.
On your calibration scale. So I think that wraps us up.
I think everyone listening can definitely agree this was the most informative episode we've had yet.
I learned a lot about brewing just in that few minutes with Alex, and I hope you did too.
Yeah, and they might even argue this was the only informative episode that we've had.
The only intelligent words that have been spoken. For all of y'all listening, for folks in Oklahoma, definitely got to go check out Nook Brew Co. or make a beer vacation out of it if you're out of state and head up there. Check out their beers. They're also on Facebook, Instagram. Follow them there. Nookbrewco.com. Give these guys all the support they deserve.
Yep, and they're on Untapped.
Their beers are untapped. Maybe not Alex. And always, if you liked what you're listening to, follow us on Instagram or Facebook. And check us out on crossthestreamsmedia.com, where you can find not only our podcast, but also our sister podcast with a whole lot of awesome variety of shows. So check it out.
All right. Thanks for listening, everyone. We'll see you all next time.
This has been a Beering Ain't Easy production in Houston, Texas. Follow us on Facebook or Instagram. And if you want to see what we're drinking, our untapped handles are Beering Ain't Easy Adam and Beering Ain't Easy Drew. Cross the Streams Media.
This has been a Cross the Streams Media Podcast.